Okay, so let's go back for a minute to the Mishnah on Chav Daled Amud Aleph. So the Mishnah had said that Mitzudos Chayav Of Vidagim Sha'asan Merav Yom Tov Lo Yitol Mehen B'Yom Tov Elam Ken Yodesh and Itzo Du Merav Yom Tov. If you have traps for animals or for birds, and you set them up before Yom Tov, so you can't take the animals that get trapped in it on Yom Tov unless you know that they were trapped before Yom Tov. And then there was a story with Rabbi Gamliel that a non-Jew brought him fish, and he said they're permitted, but I don't want to accept it from him. And then the Gemara had clarified at the beginning that there seems to be a tension, because the first stage in the Gemara says that you need vadai, right? You need to know for sure that the animals were caught before Yom Tov. Otherwise, you have a muktzah problem, because they weren't set aside. Rav Gamliel implies that in a case of doubt, in the case of the non-Jew, it is fundamentally permitted to take it, right? The first position says you need to know for sure that it's permitted. And Rav Gamliel seems to say, no, even in a case of doubt, this non-Jew, you don't know when he caught the fish, it would be permitted. Just fundamentally, he doesn't want to accept. And that's what the Gemara notes, that it's Chazuri Mechzra. And then the Gemara goes on to clarify that that's the Machlokas Rav Gamliel and the Chachamim. The Chachamim think that whenever you have a Safek, whether something is Muktzah, it is forbidden. And Rav Gamliel thinks whenever you have a Safek, that something is was prepared before Yom Tov, it is permitted. That was what we dealt with extensively, you know, in this first sugya. But one point that we'd sort of skipped over, but everyone found interesting, so now let's get to it, is why didn't Rav Gamliel take the fish from the guy, right? So, again, the Mishnah, the Gemara had interpreted Rav Gamliel to mean that fundamentally he thinks that when you're not sure whether something is prepared before Yom Tov, because the non-Jew brought it to you, so you should be allowed to accept it. It's not a muktzah problem. But he didn't want to accept it. Now, why wouldn't you accept? Why wouldn't you take the fish from the non-Jew if it permitted? Right? So Rashi has this comment. Two words, right? The end of the Mishnah here, Rashi says, Ela she'ein ritzoni l'kabel emenu, sh'ani sono, because I hate him. Right. I hate him, I don't like him. Right? He said there's no halachic problem, I can take the fish, because it's only a case of suffix, it's only a case of doubt, and I think you can be lenient, and if you don't know whether it was prepared, so then you can take it. But I hate him, so I'm not going to take the fish.
So you see that you can hate going.
great conclusion.
No, I'm just saying, there's a difference. I can't hate a Jew, but you can hate him. The whole shirt.
Right, yeah. So if you look at the rid here in the source sheet, right, the rid softens it slightly. Pirish shilo haya ohavo lo ratza legabel himenu. Right.
Okay.
What?
So it's not an enemy anymore. It's awesome. That we hate. It's more.
I don't love him. Right. And okay, fine. But then the Meiri in one here.
He's saying he didn't accept because he does. That's kind of a strange reason not to accept a gift.
Yes. Now,
so
well, that's something different.
Right.
So
if you don't like,
well, I could understand if you didn't want to feel obligated to the non-Jew, because he'll expect something in return. That might be a good reason not to accept.
Right. So, okay, you know, let's hold the thought for a minute, and then we'll come back to it. Okay. So, first let's figure out what drove Rashi to say this, right? The Rashi and the Rid are basically two different same things. The Meiri, right, gives you two possibilities. Right, he gives you two possibilities, and says either because he hated him or because he wanted to be stringent. Now, the simplest understanding is, I think, what the second thing the Meiri says, right? That the Chachamim hold that when something is doubtful, whether you're allowed to take it, so, right, the Chachamim hold that if something's in doubt, whether it was prepared before Yom Tov, so it's forbidden we'll see what it's forbidden to do, but the Gemara will get into it. But it's forbidden either to accept it or to eat it, right? To move it or to eat it. That's the Machlokas in the Gemara. And Chav Dalet Amud Beis, which we'll get to. So the simplest understanding would have said, look, Rav Gamliel thinks it's mutter, the Chachamim think that it's aser. So the easiest understanding is to say, The easiest understanding is to say, look, it's technically mutter, but he wanted to be machmir, right? Why did Rashi go out of his way to say, no, it's not a chumrah? It's not that he wanted to be machmir like the majority position, which is a reasonable thing to do. Why did he go to this, I hate him, I don't love him, whatever? So the Pnei Yeshua addresses this and says as follows. Peiros Rashi, in Ritzoni Lekabla Menor, this is number three. Shani Son O. The Ein Lefarish. And he says, so why did he say that? So because he can't explain, Masha Amar Ein Ritzoni Lekabla Menor, Hainu She Rotze Lachmir Latzmo. You can't say that he wanted to be Machmir. Kevan, Du Rabim Pligi Ale, right? You might have thought that you could say that since the majority argue with him, so he just wanted to follow the majority. He may not agree with it, but he wanted to follow the majority. Why didn't you say that? That kid Ashkam Regamulil Gufa Bireish Perakama de Brachos. Because this is what we find with Regamulil himself at the beginning of Brachos. Hold that thought. El de Imkain Akati Ayolo Kablon Velehanot Mehan Achar Yomtos. I said, what's the reason? Because if you want to be machmir, so accept it and don't use it. Treat it as muktzah, let him put it down on the table and use it after Yom Tov. Right? Why did he totally shun him? So he said, it must be El Al Karcha Mishum Jaya Sono. Right? The fact that he didn't just say, okay, I'll take it up and I won't use it until after Yom Tov, but he said, no, I don't want it. He told him, I won't take it from you. That was what pushed Rosh in the direction of saying, I don't like it. Yeah.
So how about the Kabbalah Kinyon?
Yeah, so that's a bit of a complicated sugya, whether it applies by matana, right? That's a dion in the achronim, whether that applies to the, right? But in general, right, we're meikil on things that can be used on Yom Tov, right? Food and things like that, right? In general, you know, if someone brings you a bottle of wine on Shabbos, we don't forbid that. Even to the extent that Ramachmeh, right? Why that is a bit of a discussion. So, you're right, but
when you say sono, it seems like most of them are talking about a relationship, right? But is it possible that we're talking about somebody who's who's diametrically opposed to the thinking of a Jew and stuff like that? Is somebody like that?
Yeah, I mean, look, why he hates him, right? It could be personal, it could be ideological,
it
could be.
Right,
who knows, right? Who knows what exactly this is?
He's Rabban Gamliel, so he wasn't.
He's politically involved, right? It could be that someone who's trying to ingratiate himself with him and he wants to say, look, no, this guy is really bad, I'm not going to let him, right? We can sort of construct what exactly the hate is. You're right, it doesn't have to be personal hate. Now, I'll be honest, I'm not totally sure what the Pnei Yeshua wants. From the Gemara in Brachot, right? The Gemara in Brachot is famous, right? The first Gemara in Brachot, right? The Mishnah tells you in number four, Me'emes Aikar Nishma Barvin, Misha Shekohanim Nichnasim Lechol Bitrumosan Atsof Ha'ashmura Harishona. That the, right, when can you read Shema? So, from when the Kohanim come in until the end of the first watch, Divrei Rabbi Eliezer, Vachamor Machatzos, Chom Tse until midnight, Rim Gamlil Amrat Shiyala Mura Shachar until morning. And then his sons came home and said, you know, they once went to a party and they came back and, you know, it was deep into the night and they said, we didn't say Shema. If it hasn't, the sun hasn't risen, so you have to say Kriya Shema. So the Gemara comments, didn't the sons of Rabbi Gamliel know what he held? So he said, no, Hachi Gan Relay. What he's telling them is this, Rabbanan Pligi Ilaveich. Right? They said, doesn't the majority argue with you? The Yachad Rabim, Alachik Rabim. So the Alach isn't like you. Is that what it is? Odilma, Rabbanan Kavasech Svirlu. Or maybe, really, you and the Rabbanan are in agreement. V'hai, the Gamarat Chatzos, Kedei Laharcha Gadim and Aver. But the Chachomim were Machmir. And they said, even though technically you can fulfill the obligation of Shema until the morning, we want you to be stringent and avoid that danger and say by midnight. Amar lehu. So he said, Rabbanan kavasei svir lehu. They hold like me, v'chayav v'natem, and therefore you're still obligated in Shema. V'hai d'gomrei achatzos k'dahar chagadam min ha'avera. So why do they say midnight? To distance someone from an avera. Now, I'll be honest, I'm not quite sure how the Pnei Yeshua read this Gemara. Right? What is Rabbi Gamliel saying? The chachomim hold chatzos, and they have a chumra, and I don't hold of their chumra. Right? Fundamentally, we both agree. Right? That's how I read it. Right? Is that Rabbi Gamliel and the chachomim both...
So what he's saying is, Rashi had to say that he hated them.
Wait, hold.
You can't say that Rabban Gamliel was actually giving in to the Rabbanan, because that's not what he does. That's what he's getting for Baratla.
Is that what he's saying? That he wouldn't...
He wouldn't have given in. He wouldn't have said not
But that's not what it... I mean, the Pnei Yeshua is Eilut because then he would have accepted it and benefited after Yom Tov. Right? I don't... Right? It sounds like he reads this Gemara as if Rabban Gamliel is Machmir. Right? Right, you can't say that he's being machmir because the rabbim are playing him like you find in Brachot, but it's the opposite, right? In Brachot, he's not afraid of the rabbanan, right?
Right.
He himself is willing to be somech on his own shita. He just tells his sons, "Don't worry, you can even be somech on the shita because everyone really agrees to me, right?" So maybe
is he saying that he can be somech on it, or saying that so, the chachamim made a harchata?
No, right.
Still chayav.
Correct, but so therefore, if that's what it is, how does that mean that he's being machan the chachamim? There's no evidence, right? What it sounds like is, unless the Pnei Yeshua is reading. I mean, the way I always read the Gemara was that Rabban Gamliel said the chachamim set up a geder until midnight.
Yeah.
But Mekra Din, we all agreed till morning, and therefore you should have set it by chatzos.
But if you miss it, b'di'evit,
right? B'di'evit, but. That's the Chachamim. But me personally, L'chatchila, I tell you can do Chatzos. Yeah. Right? The Pnei Yeshua seems to be reading the opposite way. Is that, no, I was articulating the main Shita, but the Chachamim, right, were Machmir, and I agree with them. I was just setting out the Ikra Shita. Right? That seems to be what Pnei Yeshua is reading, not the way I normally read it, or something like that. I'm not quite sure. But okay. That's sort of, I just wasn't sure what the Pnei Yeshua means. He seems to read the Gemara in a different way than I normally do.
Yeah, I think the Rishonim on that sugya also say that Rabban Gamliel also agrees with the Chumrah, just he's telling them.
Right, I mean, that's two ways to read. I mean, yes, they're, that's clearly the way Pnei Yeshua is reading it. I have to look back at it, all the Rishonim there, but that, there's definitely two ways of reading it, and the Pnei Yeshua is taking a strong side. Okay. What I didn't put here, though...
In the Pnei Yeshua, it says the anal faresh. In other words, he's saying as a negative.
Right. You can't say that he wants to be machmir. So the way I read this is the way you find by Rabban Gamliel, who is machmir in Brachot. Now, you're right. You could read it the other way. Is you can't say it's machmir because you see in Brachot that he doesn't care to be machmir.
That's right.
Right? But that wouldn't fit with the next sentence, right? Which is, right, but he says... Right, Ela Dakati, right? Is because if he was being machmer, then he should have accepted and waited until after Yom Tov, which sounds like, right? I mean, it sounds like if he was machmer, it still wouldn't explain the evidence, right? Meaning his rejection of the Chumrah is because it doesn't fit with the evidence here, not because it's not his personality, right? That's why I don't think that's what Yeshua was saying. I'm not totally sure what Yeshua was saying. I tend to think that he's reading, right, that he's saying that you can't be. I mean, Rabban Gamliel is generally machmir, but in this case, that wouldn't explain the evidence because then he would have taken it, waited until after Yom Tov. He wouldn't have not accepted it at all. I think that's what he's saying. Okay, I will note what I didn't put here is a fascinating discussion, mostly in Achronim, where they bring up. This is one of the sugya that they bring up in this regard. Is there's a principle which the Gemara introduces in a few places in Brachot. Called Sone Matanos Yichya. Right? That someone who hates accepting gifts will live. So they I was listening online. Hey, you made it, Seb. I was listening to a shir online by Rabbi Ali Erman, who he quoted a piece in the Achronim. Who was it? I downloaded the piece, but I'd never heard of the Sefer before. So it's on my computer, but I'd never heard of it before. The Matanos Halevi or something. I can send it out. Where he has it back and forth with the Dov of Misharim on the principle of Soni Matanos Yichya. And he asks, what is the reason for Soni Matanos Yichya? And should it apply to a guy? Right? Because that's right here, right? No one seems to have a fundamental problem with him accepting a present from the guy. It's just Rabban Gamliel didn't want to because he didn't like him, or it's a chumrah, or whatever. But no one seems to have a fundamental problem. So why is that? So he notes that in the Achronim, there are two reasons that are raised for Sonim Matanos Yechia. One, and this is the way I always understood the sugya, is that the reason the Gemara doesn't want you to accept gifts is because at some level it's a chisaron in bitachon. And it's a lack in bitachon, because if you think that God is going to provide for you, so you don't have to rely on human beings. You know, you rely on, you work, you do whatever you do, you get money, but you don't need the benevolence of gifts from other people.
Like, you don't ask your parents for money or anything.
What?
You don't ask your parents for money.
Right, you don't, you know, exactly. Meaning you just, you know.
I'll tell you, I heard that's a good line. I didn't realize that.
So that's the way the Prisha takes it, right? The Prisha says, because it's a lack of bitachon to be accepting gifts, you should rely on God, you should work by the sweat of your brow, something like that. Okay. The other possibility raised in Achronim, I think this is the one in the Prisha, maybe it's the other one, but I think that's the one in the Prisha. The other possibility they raise is that the problem is, or maybe this is on the Prisha. It was this long piece, I just sort of skimmed through it. So one possibility is Chisaron Bitachon. The other possibility is that it makes you beholden to someone, and therefore the particular formulation the Achronim have is it prevents you from then giving him tochacha if necessary. Right? I mean, once you are beholden to people, right, it's... Meaning, it's true. This is obviously true. This is definitely true, right? People who are beholden to people can't, right, articulate when it can't criticize them. So in the middle of this long piece on Son of Adon's Yechia, he raised that one of the nafkaminas between that question might be the question of whether it applies to a guy. Because the chiyuv tochacha, right, all those, doesn't apply to a guy, right? There's no expectation that you're going to be policing his religiosity, criticizing him, trying to improve him. Like, we just don't have all those responsibilities of tochcha and arvus and all those responsibilities that we have towards non-Jews. So if the problem is you don't want to be beholden to someone who you might have to rebuke, so then it wouldn't apply to a guy. But obviously, if it's a problem of bitachon, you know, then... It doesn't matter where it comes from. So that's what they. So this modern Achron, I think he's still alive. I'm not even sure. But this is one of the nafkaminas they bring. Is this Gemara, right? Is why didn't Rashi say it's a problem? Because they say maybe he held that it's a problem of tochacha, and therefore it would only be a problem to a Jew, and therefore that wouldn't be a reason to reject a gift from the guy. Interesting.
What is
I don't know.
Concern here about inviting the guy in for a meal. In other words, he's bringing food.
Achman Olas, he didn't invite him for a meal. It's Yantif.
No, that's a
right. No, then he doesn't.
He rejected it because he didn't want to feel.
Interesting. But remember, we saw in the sugya there. There's only a prohibition to invite. But if he shows up, you're allowed to have him in. Right? It was only invitation that was the problem. Right? If he shows up because you're not. Right? Or it might not be a problem, right? That was part of what we discussed. It might be the hazmana, which is a problem, but because last minute, if he just shows up, it's fine, right? Because you're not going to prepare for him.
Well, it's more complex. It also depends whether you are going to prepare.
Are you going to prepare more? How far in advance?
Well,
what does it mean?
Fresh food. So to be polite, you have to prepare what he brought.
That's an interesting. I like that spin. Maybe. I mean, none of the Rishonim that I know of, so it. But it could be.
Could there be inyans to not going with
you that year? Right. So sometimes we have that. Right. We do have that in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Right. The Gemara says that. Well, in terms of accepting gifts, specifically in accepting gifts, we do say. Right, that we'll accept not to create sinna. Apparently, Rabbi Gamliel wasn't worried about this. Right, he wanted to create sinna. Right,
I know that's what.
Yeah, right. I mean, clearly, right. It's, you know, it reminds me. There's a machlokas drisha and the Taz in the drishas in Kuf Memches and the Taz is in Kuf Nun Beis, whether you are allowed to waive some of the halachot of mesibot shalakum of going to non-Jewish parties. Because it's going to create animosity. So the Drisha suggests that maybe you can. And the Talmud says, what are you talking about? The reason there's a prohibition to go to a non-Jewish party is so that there'll be no friendship between us. The mitzvah, the chiyuv is, he assumes, d'oraisa, like the Ritva and the Ravid, is to create enmity. How could you say, I will waive a prohibition that's meant to generate enmity because it'll generate enmity? That was the whole point.
But is it enough to mean that's where Jews are majority, like in Israel? Like,
well, so no, actually, this isn't chutzlar. This is specifically a very chutzlar halacha, and that's the psak of the Taz. And the truth is, that's the psak of the Ritva and the Ravid, who both say you can't. The Ritva says explicitly that you can't waive mesivat shalakum for for Eva, yeah, because he thinks it's Doraisa. Raivin and the Ritva both think it's Doraisa. Again, it's the Shach, but the Shach is really a Shittas Yachid there, which is not usually the case, but in this case, it seems to be true. Anyways, okay, but I didn't. Unless you have a strong desire, I mean, I can if you would like. We can do more on Sonny Matanos Yich yet in last week, but literally, I've never seen anyone have a systematic discussion of it until I found this year in Y-Tara from a guy, you know, and he's quoting some Acharon, like, you know, very recently. But those are the two possibilities he brings. Again, I'm not totally convinced at Hasof, meaning I also don't know how to be master of this. I don't know if there's a kasha with all the Hasidic stories, right? You know, having bitachon means that, you know that God will provide for you in any way, and if some, you know, guy comes over and gives you an unexpected gift, you know that that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu working through him, right? I don't know why it's a lack of bitach. I don't really understand. I don't understand the whole thing. I just always assume, I don't know.
Well,
you know,
it's a midah, you know.
Yeah, it's a midah. I always thought that a more reasonable explanation is because you don't want free things, right? It's not that you don't be tough on. Is you want we want you to be osik b'shuva sholom. We want you to earn what you're, you know, mm-hmm. you know that there's a value to earning from your.
What are the spiritual and religious reasons for it? It seems like you know.
Yeah, I mean,
and here in the mission, just Rabbi Gamliel didn't like him. He hated him.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So
why not say some of the matanos yichya? The reason we shouldn't take matanos because the end you have to pay back more than you started.
There's definitely all types of, you know, versions. I mean, look, the Gemara in Bracha that talks about it, it's discussed in the context of the difference between Shmuel and Elisha, right? The Gemara says that Shmuel made a point, I don't benefit from anybody. Elisha did, right? And the Gemara says you could do either way, because the truth is, it's far in both directions. On the one hand, you benefit by being the person who doesn't take gifts, who isn't beholden to anyone. On the other hand, you know, you run the risk of being seen as standoffish, right? It goes both ways, right? The rabbi who eats out at, you know, people's houses runs the risk of saying, he's beholden to this guy. You know, look how much the guy donates to the shul. And he has the rabbi over and he gives him a lavish meal. And that's why he doesn't yell at him when he's talking in shul, right? On the other hand, the rabbi who doesn't go to anybody's house, right? You run the risk of people saying, oh, he's so standoffish. He doesn't trust our kashrus. Right? And that's what the Gemara says. There's a benefit to what Shmuel did. There's a benefit to what Elisha did, you know. You know.
How do you explain pork?
What?
Explain, you know, pork.
it'd be like, better not to, but you know, we're talking about people who, you know, have a choice.
That's what Netanyahu's for, then.
Gabald. His
favorites call him Benjamin Netanyahu.
Gabald. Okay. Anyways, fine. Okay, the Tzlach has yet another possibility, but this is predicated on the later sugya. He says like this: what does it mean? He doesn't mean that it's permitted to him. He means it was permitted for somebody else, because as the Gemara will discuss later on, right now he's already drawing in later sugya, there's a distinction between someone for whom the fish was caught and somebody else. So he says it doesn't mean it's permitted to me. He's saying like this, right? He's like splitting hairs here. He said, I couldn't eat it, but it would be mutter to somebody else because it was hunted for me, and therefore it's usher to me. Which, again, that's the sugya we're going to get to, but just to anticipate it. But since anybody else for whom it wasn't fished could use it, mimela, it's not muktzah. And therefore, I may not be able to use it on Yom Tov, but I could accept it. But why didn't I? Says because maybe the people seeing it, it will won't realize that he's taking it because it's not muktzah, but it is asur. And they'll think he's taking it to eat. Right? Meaning, what does he really say? It's a problem of marzayin. Right? That because this halacha is so complicated, right? He's accepting it for one thing. Other people think he's accepting it for another thing. Right? So you end up having three positions here. One is that it's a chumrah. Two is that it's sinna. And it's tzlach, that it's maris ayin concern, right? That people won't understand what he's taking for. Again, there's all these possibilities we talked about. You could have just said, it is soni matanos yechiyah. I don't know of anybody who says it, but you could have said soni matanos yechiyah, right? You could have said a million different things. You could have said, yes, he's going to invite the guy in to eat. Now, I don't know, right? You could have come up with other ones, but anyways, it's an interesting mini discussion.
Would it apply to food, like giving food to someone also?
Again, the exact problem. It's not really a halacha. That's the problem.
That's
the problem. It's not a halacha. So, like, how much do people write on it? That's why the first discussion I ever saw is this back and forth of letters between this guy. I think it was his name. It was the Mata Levi or something, and Rav Meisharim. Because who? Mata Levi? I think so. I have to look at my computer. I downloaded it from a safe I'd never heard of before. Right, he was some Talmud or whatever of the Tribuner. So, you know, he has this back and forth with David Meisharim. Again, no one really discusses it because, like, why? It's not like a halacha. It's like a, you know, this is like the Netziv's critique of the Chavetz Chaim. It's his backhanded haskama at the beginning of Havas Chesed. Right. Blau once pointed this out to me, that in the Hagdamah Avos Chesed, the Netziv writes what looks like Haskama, but if you read it carefully, it's not Haskama. Because what he basically says is this work is amazing if you thought that Chesed was something that was subject to halachic analysis. But then he goes on this philosophical discourse, which if you read between the lines is, but there are two different types of things in Torah. There's law and then there's values, and values is a different discipline, and it isn't subject to law. Right? It's clear he's saying, like, this is great for what it is. I wouldn't write this book because I don't understand. I don't, like, approach the whole notion of Chesed the way he does. Right? See, I sort of feel like Sodom Matanos Yechia, everyone was like, I mean, it's a nice meta value. Like, what is the parameters? As Gemara says, sometimes it's a good idea and sometimes it's not a great idea to turn down a gift, right? You don't want the gift, fine, but it's not always a good idea to turn down a gift. People get offended. Okay, so I don't know. Okay, now what does it mean anyway? So now go to the Gemara. Chav Dalet Amud Beis, right? This is where we're up to in two dots. Amr Mutar Nehem. So the Gemara says, Mutarin Lamai. What does it mean? It was permitted. So Rav Amar Mutarin Lekabel. The Levi Amar Mutarin Ba'achila. Right, so Rav says it means that he's allowed to accept it, but he isn't allowed to eat it. Levi said that Rav Gamliel thought he was even permitted to eat. So Amar Rav, and Rav said, La'olam al yimna adam atzmo mi beis ha-medrash afilu sha'achas. A person shouldn't hold himself out of the beis medrash even for a moment. The Anna Velevi Havin Kamedi Rav. We were both students of Rav. The Rebbe. Ki Amr Lahash Maitza Buurta Amr Mutarn Bachila. In the evening, he taught this halacha and he said, you're allowed to eat it. Bitsafra Amr Mutarn Lakabel. And the next morning, he retracted and said, no, he's only allowed to accept it, but he's not allowed to eat it. Anna Dahavai Be Midrasha Hadribi. I was there both in the morning and at night. Night and morning, and therefore I heard the retraction. Levi de la ve be midrasha lo hader be. And the Levi who wasn't in the base manager in the morning, he didn't realize that Rebbe had retracted. And then the Gemara goes on to try to prove this. Okay. But what is the machlokas? Okay. Leaving us, I tried to find if there's anything on this sort of, this, you know, ethical imperative of the Gemara, right? Never avoid being in the base medrash because you might miss something. No one seems to have written on it because it seems to be pretty obvious what it means, right? It's true, right? The more you hang around, I mean, nowadays, you know, fine. It just means check the records. But yeah, check the records, you know, go to the download the shiur, find the write up online, and like, but in the, you know, yeah, in the time of the Gemara, where everything was an oral tradition, of course, it was really quite hard. You know, if you weren't there, you would miss something, and there was no necessary way that you could get it back. But what is the machlokas, l'kava lecho, or what is the logic to the two sides? What do you think? Right? Why would you say that it's only mutter to take it but not to eat it? Why would you say it's even mutter to eat? Right? What is the axis in which they argue?
Right? Well, they only touched on one possibility, right?
Which is
you could take it for somebody else, but you can't eat it because he did it for you.
Right, so that's the slach here, right? The slach just says, so this slach here says maybe the difference is simply, the shito says you're allowed to accept it is saying, look, you can't eat it because it can't benefit, but you're allowed to accept it. Now, what about, because other people could eat it, right? Per the sugya later on, that other people can benefit from that which a guy did, just not the person who was done for. Why would you say it's asur b'achila?
When you're saying that's according to Rabban Nun, or that's just according to...
No, according to Rabban Gamliel. Okay. According to Rabban Gamliel, within Rabban Gamliel, right? Why would Rabban Gamliel say this? Rabban Gamliel holds another person could eat it, but since he would hold that I can because it was done for me, and therefore I could accept it, but I can't eat it. Right, but why would you say you could eat it then?
Well, if it wasn't caught specifically for him. If he knew that it was just...
Right, so one possibility...
for himself, and then he just...
Right, so right... Now, within the tzlach, it won't work because he's assuming it was done for him. Right, but you could say, maybe the machlokes is whether you have to presume that it was done for you. Right? Right? If you have to presume it was done for you, then it's asur. If you don't have to presume that it was done for you, then it would be mutter.
Okay, so I'm misunderstanding the concept of muksa then. Okay. If you have your own nets, forget about a goy for a second, and you did not plan on, or you did not see it was there, you have an issue of muksa. If you did not designate something, it's muksa. So why, when this goy comes and brings something that you had no idea you were going to eat, even if it was done for someone else, why would you be allowed to eat it? Because it would still be muksa for you.
So this is what we discussed two weeks ago,
okay.
Right? If you remember, the Yerushalmi says, because the machlokes, according to the Yerushalmi, is safek hachein shel goy, right? Does that which a goy brings you need hachan at all, right? According to one the Yerushalmi's interpretation, the reason Gamliel says what he does is because a goy, anything that was in the possession of a goy is muksaless, right? Muksa free, can't become muksa, right? And remember, the Rambam, as opposed to the simple Pshar Ligmara, the Rambam follows the Yerushalmi. The machlokes of Gamliel and the Chachamim isn't about safek vaday. Sorry, it isn't about suffix, it's about vada. The Gamliel says, even if it vada wasn't prepared, right, you can have it because when it's brought by a guy, it's mutter l'chatchila, right? Because, and we talked about why that might be, maybe because if it's in the guy's possession, it can't be muksa, because if muksa means I had to actively push it out of my realm, if it was in the guy's realm, I had no control to push it out. But you're right that may be part of the machlokes here, was that question, right? That according to the person who says you can even eat it, right, brings you back to the point. Why would you say you can eat it? Yerushalmi says, why can you eat it? Because something which a goy owned, according to Gamliel, according to Yerushalmi, is impervious to muksa. Because the only thing that could be muksa is something in a Jew's possession. Why? Presumably because if it's in a Jew's possession and he doesn't plan on using it, so it's out of his mindset. But that which was in the goy's possession was... out, right? There was no Jew to push it aside. And therefore, right, why would you say it's mutter b'achila? Presumably because, or one possibility is because it's impervious to muksa. It's impervious to muksa, why shouldn't I be able to eat it? Right?
The other perspective could be that because it's in a goy's possession, it's always muksa.
What?
Because it's a goy's possession, it's always muksa.
Right, but then...
And you never had...
Well, yeah, but from Gamliel, that doesn't work. Yeah. From the Chachamim, it works. From Gamliel, it doesn't work, because from Gamliel definitely holds you can accept it. You might even hold you can eat it. I mean, that was the Yerushalmi thought was the machlokes, the Chachamim, right? And from Gamliel, the Chachamim thought a goy needs achein, and right, needs to be prepared before Yom Tov, and from Gamliel thought not. Right, but that's the machlokas between Rabbi Gamliel and Chachamim, not within Rabbi Gamliel.
Even the goy prepared it before Yantif, you could argue that it's muksa, because muksa means it's out of your you had no
right. So that
it's the goy's right, so, with a bunch of
correct, fish. But no one seems to hold.
Seems to use a present.
Right, so no one seems to hold that. No one holds that.
I hold that.
I'm saying no one holds that because.
Muksa is usually thought of docha b'shtei adayim, like rogres and tzimtzum.
Right. Or some of them is, right? Some of them is a function of achana, right? Meaning I simply wasn't making it, and some are aksinu midaite. Okay. So Rashi takes a very sort of simple position, which is as follows, right? Rashi says, lekabel betiltul, right? Meaning he allows you to move it. The chule hai lo achmor misafek muchan delitzer betiltul of bachila lo shemayim gamliel. Rashi said there's no fundamental; it's a gradation thing. Meaning the chachamim say if something is safek mukta, then you have to treat it as mukta. Rabbi Gamliel said safek mukta, you don't have to treat it as mukta. But he wasn't totally convinced; he's like half convinced. So he like eating is worse than moving. So he said, look, it's safek, it might be mukta, it might not be. So eating is really bad. So like, even I'm not willing to go that far. But moving it in a safek, nishkeferlach, right? That's basically what Rashi said. So like, the Chachamim saying, no, I need to know it is not mukta. Rami Galil says, I don't care if I know it's mukta or not, but like, I'm not willing to be that makil. I'm not so radical, right? Rashi makes it sound very not fundamental. Like, it's gradations, right? Chachamim say, safek mukta asur. And Gamliel says, right? You know, it's not really asur, it's not really mutter. Okay, take it and don't eat it. And what is the shita who says you can eat it? He says, no. Rami Gamliel said, it's not mukta, so it's not mukta, right? That's the machlokes, right? You have three possibilities. Safek mukta is vaday asur, which is the chachamim. Safek mukta is vaday mutter, and therefore you're allowed to eat it. Or safek mukta is safek, and therefore we hedge, right? It's like, you know, I just gave this year 2 weeks ago on making sushi on Shabbos, right? The official position of the COR is that Rav Shlomo Miller thinks it's probably mutter, but it might be usher, and therefore he hedges and he says he'll allow a caterer to have a non-Jew make sushi on Shabbos. Why? Because even if I'm wrong, then it's really usher, sach hakol. It's only a guy, and therefore it's only darabanan anyways. And even if it's usher, it might only be usher darabanan, it might be daraisa, it might be darabanan, and like we hedge, right? In the OU, their position is even more complicated, which is Rebelsky is noted to say it's usher mi daraisa. And therefore, if a caterer asks you, you should first discourage them, but if you can't discourage them enough, and therefore they still insist, then you should allow a guy to do it, which is like so many stages. This is the official email I got from the OU, right? Posts can do this sometimes. They hedge. Why? Right? There's no like formal reason. They just like, you know, I'm not sure. So like, what? Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, whatever. We whatever.
You say anything about a sort of cuddle of emergency or something, like with the strawberry shortcake.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Ray Miller says, you know, shasatrak, the whipped cream. Exactly. Well, I'm saying, right, Willig.
Emergency.
Yeah, well, he said, no, he says the same thing. He says about this, he says about sous vide. He's like, yeah, well, people really want sushi, people really want sous vide. Right, and all of these. Rav Asher Weiss is like, I don't understand, what's the dough? Right, Willig is like, what is this emergency we talk about? But Ray Miller, I've noticed, has sort of a consistent position that, like, push comes to shove, he'll allow, you know, if he thinks it's mutter, he'll be making on food things because people are very into food in Toronto. You know, like, they are. Okay, fine. He has it also in whipped cream. He's like, it's probably mutter, but you should only use whipped cream b'shas adchak. If it's extenuating circumstances, on Shabbos. No, the can. Yeah, only if it's really necessary. I don't know what the whipped cream emergency. It's the whipped cream sushi sous vide whatever emergency. I don't know. Okay, fine.
With the three explanations you just gave, what difference would it make with giving it to somebody else? In other words,
we haven't gotten that yet. We're gonna get there. I'm trying to go in stages here because you know. It's complicated, so I'm just trying to build it one by one.
So according to Rosh, just to interrupt you more, when is mukta got to do with eating? I thought the whole idea of mukta is tiltul.
No.
The mukta is you can't eat it?
There are different muktas, right? I mean, classic, Veitza Shenol de Yom Tov, right?
So you're
it's achila, right?
You're not supposed to eat it, but I thought the concept, so you're not supposed to eat it, that's one thing, but mukta is always meant to be you can't move it.
Usually.
So if you can't move it, you can't touch it because, you know, you might eat it or something like that. But to say that
so it's a,
you can't move it?
So that's what Rashi seems to think, right? Is that achila is like super violation of muksa and moving is just like kacha kacha. Right? That's how Rashi seems to take it. But you'll see in a second that not everyone agrees with what I just said. So you look at the Rashba in 7. He agrees with you, right? I mean, he said in his question, he says, right? Rabban return the kabbalah. If him tell mar, kaven to the rabba sirim bachila, return the kabbalah, taltel. The mi'ika midi dasar bachila, mutal taltel. Kosh asar bachila, asar taltel. I mean, it's zeh o zeh. right? I mean, he doesn't buy the Tzlach's argument, right? That, or at least in his Havamina, right? He doesn't buy the Tzlach's argument that no, other people could use it, and therefore it's... He said, Mukta's Mukta. Mukta means you can't use it. You can't use it, you can't eat it, you can't move it, you can't... whatever. So, one or the other. He says, yeah, I'll prove it to you. Beitza shenol de b'yom tov. Classic. Isher achila. It's also aser b'tiltol. Right? They go hand in hand. Mukta means you can't move it, eat it, do anything with it. That's it. But then, even though in the question he agrees with Sam, in the answer he agrees with Rashi, and he doesn't explain why. He says, "V'yeshlamer debesafek achen degoy who shehekar v'gamliel tikasaver didai besafek achen shalgoy imnaser bachila." Right? He hedges again. Right? He's like, "Well, it's safek muchan of a guy." So, I mean, he basically, it's, what it sounds like is he's inventing a category. He's saying, like, you know, eating is like seems more intense, so like we won't do it. Moving, like he's saying, there's no fundamental reason within mukta that's true. He's just saying, like, it's some sort of mukta, gzeira, expansive, whatever. So we, eating is somehow more intense than moving, which I understand. And therefore we asser that. But both Rashi and the Rashba basically say, yeah, there isn't like a fundamental difference between achila and mukta. It's just like achila is sort of more intense. That's what it sounds like. Gveger does not like this fuzziness, right? Doesn't like this fuzziness. He's like, what's this? What is this? Like, makes no sense, right? Mukta is mukta. Either it's asur or it's mutter. So the Tzlach had, you know, his nice distinction, which is, no, it's asur to eat, and therefore it should be asur to move, but it's not because someone else could eat it, right? I mean, that's, right, the Tzlach's way of figuring it out, right? Is that, right, it's asur to eat, not because of mukta, right? I mean, the Tzlach, his answer is very simple. You can move it because other people could eat it, and therefore it's not useless. You can't eat it, not because of mukta, but because you can't eat something that a goy prepared for you on Yom Tov because of reasons that we'll see, because it might lead you to ask him to do it, some sort of amir lenachri, an amalach as goy, right? That's the bottom where it said, yisod ha-yisur. But, right, the tzlach, right, agrees with Sam, right? He just says, yeah, mukta, the reason you can't eat it can't have anything to do with mukta, because if it was about mukta, it should be also to move. Said mukta, it's not, because other people can use it. You can't eat it because it's hanami melechas goy that was done on your behalf, and that's usher. Rabbi Eger in 8 builds on the other argument of the Tzlach from the last time we learned, and this is very fancy. Here's his argument. All right, I'll say it outside, then we'll read it inside. He says, here's the difference. The way that Tzlach and Rabbi Eger understood Rabbi Gamliel to begin with, right, we'd ask the question, why is mukta, according to the Chachamim, why is Safik mukta asur? Mukta is dirabanan. Right, that was the fundamental question of the whole Mishnah, right? Why is it asur if in the case of doubt? It's dirabanan, it should be mutter. So we saw that the Meiri said, well, it's Kein Daraisa. Either in general mukta is sort of daraisa, or this mukta is sort of daraisa, or this is a gzeira because you might come to hunt and whatever. But what did the Tzlach say? The Tzlach said, no, it's a problem of davar sheyesh matirin. Right? The problem is that we have a rule that whenever something is going to be mutter, so then, as Rashi says, lama lechlo b'isser lechlo b'heter. Why eat it when it's usser or safek usser? Wait till it's mutter. And the reason the Chachamim say that Safek Mukta is Asur is because they'll say, why? I understand it's Derabbanan, but just wait till after Yontif. Right? Eat it after Yontif. But Rabbi Akiva Eger says, well, let's be careful. Because there's a difference between moving and eating. Eating is object-oriented. Meaning what? You can only eat it once. So if you can only eat it once, why eat it now? Eat it later. Because the object will be eaten once. You might as well do it when there's no doubt that it's mutter. But moving it is person-oriented. because I can move it now, I can move it in an hour, I can move it in 2 hours. You can't tell me why move it be'isser, move it beheter, because I'll tell you, I want to move it now, and I want to move it in 3 hours, right? Right now, he came to my door and he gave me the fish. I want to put it in the fridge. And later, I'm going to take it out of the fridge. I have a reason to move it now, I have a reason to move it later. Don't tell me why move it now and move it later. The reason is I don't want the dead fish sitting on my table, I want it in my fridge. And later I'm going to want it in the pot, and then I'm going to want it to eat. Right? You can't tell me it's davar she'yesh lo matirin, because moving, anything which is person-oriented, you can't say is action-oriented, can't be davar she'yesh lo matirin, because there's a lost opportunity cost. I can move it now and later. So Rabbi Kiveger says that's the difference between achila and tiltal. It's very, right? It's very, right? That's what he says.
That's arguing that achila is object-oriented, not person-oriented.
Correct.
But you could make the same arguments about eating.
Because you can only eat it once. No, because you can only eat it once. That's his point. Meaning.
No, I understood that. I caught that. But
meaning it's object-oriented in the sense that you can only do it once. Right.
So,
right. Meaning there is an object which is a perishable, right? Or it's
consumable.
Consumable. I'm going to consume it at one point or another. I might as well do it beheter. But moving, right? Meaning eating it now will affect whether I can eat it later, right? So I'm not losing the opportunity to eat it. I'm just delaying when I'm going to eat it. But moving it, you can't tell me I delayed moving it. No. I didn't move it today. I moved it tonight, but I could have moved it both times, right? And so that's how Rabbi Kiveger explains this position. That's what he says. He says,
I don't get it. What, you're eating it, right?
Yeah.
Tiltal, at least, doesn't make sense. So move it later. Why do you have to move it now?
Yes, sir.
Because you could do it. Because you could do it both times.
Now, you need to move it.
Well, that might be fine because it's mukta. But he said because I could do it. Davar she'yesh lo matirin only makes sense in a case where I could replicate what I would do now later
right.
And I didn't lose anything.
Right.
Okay. But he's saying by moving it, I did lose something because maybe I want to be moving it around now and later.
Right?
Meaning eating, I'm only going to be able to do it once. So that one time I'm going to eat it, it might as well be later. But moving,
right,
I could move it all day.
I didn't get the
Yishu
Matirin, I forgot.
So that's what he says. He says, if it's about Yishu Matirin, that only makes sense by eating. Right?
But how if you can't eat it tomorrow? How about if it's, the fish has to be eaten today or else...
So in general, right, if it's going to spoil, right, this is always in davar she'yesh lo matirin, if it's going to spoil, let's say, so then it might be mutter, because then it's not yesh lo matirin, because by time, right, tonight comes around, correct. And if it's going to spoil, and if you think that it's based on davar she'yesh lo matirin, then yes, if the guy says, look, this is great fish, but only for 3 hours, right, it's this is the tail end, so then...
Right.
Yes, it might actually be mutter, right? Because then it's not yesh lo matirin, and that's exactly right, right? If it's yesh lo matirin, then, and you see, look, right now it's fresh, it's going to be spoiled, and, I hope it's not going to spoil, but if that would be the case, exactly, that would be fine. What?
Could be a 3-day
oath. So we're going to get to that. We're going to get to that point, because when we say usser, it's not going to be clear until when. That's going to be machlokas Rashi Tosfos. You see this long Tosfos in the page, right? That huge Tosfos takes the entire page. That Tosfos deals with your question, which is, when we say it's usser until after Yontif, does that mean until the end of the first day of Yontif, or until all days of Yontif, right? Or Shabbos plus Yontif, meaning, are we waiting for the formal day to be over, or waiting for the whole Yontif? That question is so complicated that Rosh, that's why you have this entire page Tosfos, right? Like, you think that the sources look short. It's only because I didn't put all of Tosfos on it. Tosfos is on the page. So we'll get there. Okay. That should be key to Eger. But as I mentioned this 2 weeks ago, this question has a serious nafka mina lehalacha. Whether in terms of how we apply davar she'yesh lo matirin, the example I gave was this machlokas years ago in the Masoreh Journal about whether if I'm not sure whether I'm I've hit my 6 hours, am I allowed to have dairy, right? Which Rai Heber had argued that specific, it's usur, because it's avashesh matirin. Why have your ice cream now? Have your ice cream in another hour when you're sure that you're, right? It's been 6 hours and meat. But most people push back, right? Jachter summarized them and said no, because maybe I want ice cream now and in an hour, right? Right? Because you're not saying, I have a lot of ice cream. I want ice cream for dessert, and I want ice cream for, right? And I want ice cream for a snack, and I want, right? It's not the same, right? Nothing about me having ice cream in an hour precludes me having ice cream now also. And therefore, there's a lost opportunity cost. I couldn't have a dessert, ice cream for dessert. So the Lahoris Nassan summarized this in 9. He says, "Chayin zekasa b'tzlach b'psachim d'le'inyan hana'ash e'ina shalkili." Right. So he notes that this position of tzlach, because right, tzlach went in this direction, even though he took a slightly different angle here, he actually says this notion multiple times in Shas, that when it comes to actions, right, or it comes to activities which could be repeated, we don't say davar sheish lamatirin. And this is the position of the tzlach throughout Shas. And he notes this, that inyan hanashi no shalkilu shachol yanus menu hayom gam lamachar lo shayach la'asum shudar shish matirin. Right? And so in Psachim, he says that any benefit, anytime you have something which you could benefit multiple times, right? It's ena shalkilu, meaning the object doesn't get destroyed after I use it. The tzlach said, davar shish matirin doesn't apply because I could use it now and I could use it in 3 hours. Right? And therefore, there is no... there is no chumra of davar sheish matirin. V'chein kazu b'shut nod b'yehuda. The nod b'yehuda and the tzlach are the same person, right? V'cheskel lenda. So if you look in the nod b'yehuda, they said the same thing. B'safar isra mei nekes u'muber shechaveru din lasum din davar sheish matirin. Right? There's a prohibition to marry someone else's divorcee or widow who's still nursing or pregnant with his child. But he said if it's a safek, don't tell me it's aser because the davar sheish lo. Matirin, because the davar sheish matirin is only by achila, but marriage, right? If they marry now, then they'll be able, right? Avelin and bilas yisha lo shayach yish matirin. They can get married and they can live together now, and they could go on their honeymoon by the time you say they're allowed to get married, and they could have been together many times. Right? Meaning, you're by saying someone can't marry until later, that's you might think that's an opportunity. That there's no lost opportunity cost, because it's not true. Because, every time they're married and they want to be, and they want to be together, right? They've lost a month, 2 months, however many months you push it off. Any time, right? And you skip down. Is mavur lo shayach ladun mishum yesh lo matirin lehechish she'isru mitzad achefza. Right? You can only say davar sheish lo matirin when it's a specific perishable, consumable object. Right, in one egg you can eat it one shot. Then we say, why do it prohibited? Do it when it's mutter. Because you can only benefit once, so you might as well do it beheter. In any case, right? His case was: is it mutter to? He has a subject whether it's mutter to smoke on Yom Tov. Right, ben Hashmasho. Right, a chain smoker. You tell them they can smoke. Tell them they'll smoke at the beginning of Ben Hashmashos, in the middle of Ben Hashmashos, in the end of Ben Hashmashos, and after Ben Hashmashos. I'm not saying you should smoke, but he said the shaila. He said the chain smoker will tell you, no, it's not the same cigarette. I can have 4 cigarettes in that time. It's right, as he says at the end, muvat lo yitchol kon. Right, taking away the opportunity cost is a problem. So. What Lahoris Nassan points out is that the Tzlach and Rabbi Akiva Eiger seem to have this consistent shita that davar sheish matirin can only, right, the fact that something will eventually be permitted, and therefore you can't rely on kulot, and you can't rely on bittel, and you can't rely on safek, that is only true with something that you can only do once. But anytime you could do it multiple times, since there is lost opportunity cost, you can't say lama lechlo beisr lechlo behet there, because no, I'll say I wanted to eat it now and I wanted to eat it later. And this is what Rei Jachter points out, right? Rei Jachter, in his response to Rabbi Heber about the 6 hours thing, says, you see, this is the tzlach shita, the nodu shita, consistently. That you can't tell me that why have dessert for ice cream, you'll just have it later for a snack. Because no, because there's a lost opportunity cost. The second there's a lost opportunity cost, you can't invoke davar sheyesh lo matirin, because this opportunity is lost forever. And therefore, you have to treat it like a normal safek. And a normal safek derabanan, the halacha is lukula. And therefore, it really does become...
On Mars, there was only one ice cream.
Correct. If you had one ice cream,
that would be
In a chanami. Correct. Correct. One ice cream that was sent up in Elon Musk's car, right? You know, he wanted his car and his ice cream up there. There's only one in a chanami. Fine. In a chanami. Given, sure. But barring that case, then it would be fine. So that, like I said, is important in this 6-hour question, right? Meaning halacha, I'm not going to paskin for you, as you know. But right, Jachter thinks that the consensus of poskim is like no Yehuda, and therefore, if you find yourself, you know, and you're like, I think it's 6 hours, but I'm not sure, and I really want my ice cream, right? Right, Jachter argues at that point, you're allowed to have the ice cream because it's safek derabanan lekula, and it's not called davar sheyesh matir, and therefore it's mutter. And Rei Heber there says, no, it's not true, because, right, it's davar sheyesh lematirin, but that hangs on this question, as the Lohar Nasan notes. Now, that's a much lower cost thing than, you know, the cases that Salak actually does, but that is the case that comes up all the time. So, there is actually an afkamin into this Shaila, that according to, if you follow the Tzlach, the way Rei Jachter points out, the conclusion would be that if you're not sure if it's been 6 hours or 5.5 hours, you're allowed to have your ice cream. That's what would be yotzei from this sugya, according to the Rei Jachter's analysis of Rabbi Yehuda, which Horace Nussan notes starts in this sugya of all sugyas in Beit Zab.
So in terms of our Gemara here, in terms of
in our Gemara, so the Rabbi Kiv Eger and the Tzlach, right, suggests that why would you say it's mutter betiltul and not achila is based on this. It says mutter betiltul because
you can carry it.
Because I could carry it now and later, but it does serve achila because davar sheyesh lo matirin, I could just eat it later. Why would you say it's mutter b'achila? They don't buy the whole argument, right? Either they say it's not about davar sheyesh lo matirin, it's just because, you know, he holds that it's derabanan anyways and it's lekula.
I want to fish now. I mean, that's a problem with the thing.
It could be that they'll say that it's that even though normally would say lama lech lo beis or lech lo beheter, here there's a reason why you would eat it now, which is it's Yom Tov, right? You could see someone pushing back and saying normally I would say eat it beheter, but what's the heter, right? It's not the same. I'll tell you, you'll eat it on Motzei Yontif and it won't be a mitzvah, or you'll eat it on Yontif and it'll be a mitzvah Simchas Yom Tov. Maybe he'll say that's not davar sheyesh lematirin, right? What does it mean? Because take Rashi's formulation. Why eat it b'isser? The answer is, I want to eat it b'safek isser because there's a mitzvah counter pressure, right?
Then what you have to do, I think, in order to make it really clear, is that you have to eliminate the element of numbers of times, and go back to the way you explained it. That it's is it object oriented or person oriented? I can have 5 fish, okay, but if I don't have a reason why I want to eat any of those 5 fish on Shabbos, then I can say, you know, lama lechol be'iser, eat all 5 after Shabbos when they're all, you know, when there's no... When,
right.
Yeah.
So. Right. You could definitely come up with formulations, yeah. Right? And that's maybe what he would say, right? I mean, there's many different options, right? He could just say, look, it's the abundance lakula, so don't bring me davar sheyesh matirin. Or he could say, there's not really yesh matirin, right? Because you want to eat the fish now, on yontif, right, of all things, right? There's value added to doing it now rather than isru, right, isru chag. Right? Namely, there's a mitzvah simchas yom tov, and therefore he will push back. It's not davar sheyesh matirin, right? We could come up with all different types of formulations. Okay. What we'll do next week is actually get to, okay, we've been talking, dancing around the issue because the Gemara continues, but why is this usher to begin with, right? I mean, what is the isser of benefiting something which a guy prepared for you on Yom Tov? Where does that come from? And that's what we will, right? Because the Gemara's assumption is it's by safek, it's mutter, but by vadai, it's usher. Why is it usher bivadai? That's what we have to, that's the continuation of the Gemara, which we haven't touched with in this this very inviting looking Tosos over here. It is a fun Tosos.
With the issue of tiltul here, it's for any purpose?
Correct. So again, that's going to depend.
Is there the issue of hefset or
no, so that goes back to what we talked about last week, is what type of mukta is it? If it's nolad, then yeah, you couldn't move it for anything. If it's mukta of Eitzim Vavanim, you can move it, Litzarach Gufa, Litzarach Makomo. But we saw that was the Pnei Yeshua, right? The Pnei Yeshua went through what type of mukta is it in? What it means is Asr B'Tiltul, meaning is it Asr B'Tiltul totally, Asr B'Tiltul if you don't need Litzarach Gufa, Litzarach Makomo, right? That hangs on the Pnei Yeshua's discussion of what type of mukta are we talking about. But that was 2 weeks ago, right?
But if you're doing that, then your ice cream issue isn't based on what we're discussing. In other words,
with
the tiltul, there's still some sort of need.
Whether you need need at all. Yeah. If you think it's not mukta at all, right? So then you don't even need a need. If you think that need won't help you, according to the Chachamim, that hangs on what you think the Pnei Yeshua, right? The Pnei Yeshua's question. What type of mukta is it the Chachamim ascribe to it, right? Because, yes, if the Chachamim hold that it's Nola, so then even the Litzarach Gufa, Litzarach Makomo, you could move it. If they think it's Eitzim Vavanim, then the Litzarach Gufa, Litzarach Makomo, you could move it. According to Gamliel, you'd be able to move it even with no need at all. Right? Yeah, but that all depends on that, right? But Rav Gamliel doesn't hold it Vadei Mukta, and therefore he allows it. But the Chachamim, you're right. I mean, the Chachamim, even according to the Chachamim, that's also a move, it depends on the circumstances, depending on the Pnei Yeshua's analysis. Okay. Whew.